taken under advisement, and we move to case number 5 on the calendar, but it's Laura versus Holden. Sager.
Good morning, Your Honor. Jason Sager on behalf of the Fisher appellant Nazir Mohammed Ibrahim by Bahura. Cases here from an appeal of a decision by the Board of Immigration Appeals affirming the decision of the immigration judge denying Mr. Bahura's claim for political asylum, withholding of removal, and Convention Against Torture Relief, which he filed in June of 2007, based on an incident which occurred in March of 2002 in Gujarat, India, where he and his friends were attacked at a train station by two Hindu activists for an apparent act of terrorism or act that they thought they were involved in, which they were not involved in. My client is Muslim, and his friend was killed, and my client was wounded in the exchange. He went into hiding for 4 years and eventually came to the United States and within 1 year applied for asylum. And at the hearing, the judge found him to be a credible witness and did find that he did file for asylum within the 1 year. I think the issue here is not whether he suffered harm. The issue here is whether there's suffered harm or threats. The issue here is whether the Hindu activists were not state actors, persecuted him, whether the state could have was unable or unwilling to stop that persecution.
How did he report that?
Excuse me, Your Honor?
How did he? I know they had encountered one policeman, told him, you know, keep your mouth shut, I guess, but well, what else did he do as far as notifying authorities?
He was in the hospital, and according to his testimony in the record, I believe it's page 125, 126 in the record, he was told by the police not to report it. There are, in fact, policemen at the station during the incident, and it doesn't appear anything was done, any arrests were made in the case. And there was a policeman that did come to the hospital to make a report, or allegedly to make a report, but no report was filed. There was no investigation made. And it appears, according to his testimony, Mr. Bahura's testimony, that he was told not to make a report.
Well, so, why should one police officer's statement be enough to conclude that the government is unable or unwilling to control groups such as those that attacked Mr. Bahura? I mean, here he never tried to file any kind of formal report or anything like that. So that's what I'm having some trouble with.
Certainly. Mr. Bahura is a Muslim in a country that is 80% Hindu. The policeman in Gujarat, the local party, the Bharatiya Junta Party that was in control at the time, is a Hindu organization. And in fact, in 2002, there were reports of genocide that were the Sindh Party was involved with. And the local police, who were also charged with protecting the community, are Hindu. And Mr. Bahura was told that he should not make a report or make any further investigation by a local policeman. And since he had just been wounded and his friend killed, I believe that that would create enough fear in him not to go forward with it to avoid any further repercussions of any future harm. And it's this failure to find meaningful protection to him, or at least some meaningful peace of mind that there's some investigation would occur, some arrest might be made in this case, that brings us to the state being unable or, in fact, unwilling to assist him. And in fact, even corroborating and assisting the people who perpetrated the persecution against him, non-state actors. And the IJ stated in his decision that there was no link or tie between the violation and the state. Well, there is. There may not be a direct link, but the state, by means of the police officer, certainly was participating in it. He knew about it. And even if he didn't know about it, he wasn't doing anything about it, but was in fact inhibiting the investigation.
What's the command structure?
What was his rank? What was his status with the police department? I mean, it wasn't a supervisor or a captain or anything like that, was it?
Well, I'm not sure what his rank was, but I don't think I'm not sure what his rank was. It may not have been clear, but the fact that he was a police officer in a position of trust, or supposed to be in a position of trust, and in a position to protect every citizen, is the important thing. His rank, I think, is not really relevant. The fact that he's a police officer and is coming to a wounded man in the hospital to provide some assistance to him and does not do that is what's relevant. The state. Well, the local, at the state level or federal level, it doesn't matter what level, it's the local level, failed to provide protection.
Let me ask you on a different note, in a different area. Why isn't the fact that India is prosecuting persons responsible for the 2002 violence a good indication that Mr. Bahora does not have a well-founded fear of persecution upon his return to India?
Well, because the violence continues, and during the trial, the merits hearing, the country reports were submitted, and the country reports, the human rights reports, and the religious freedom reports all contain very detailed information about the religious violence in India, and it continues today between Hindus and Muslims. There are many deaths. I don't have the most recent reports, but they confirm that what's happened then is still going on now. And it is a predominantly Hindu country. It's 80% Hindu. So being able to relocate anywhere there would be difficult for him. And based on the reception he got from the local authorities at that time, it's reasonable for him to think that he wouldn't get the same, that he would get the same treatment and not get protected if he were to return. I think Your Honor had a question.
Well, my question was along the same lines. Merely to ask you the command structure of, we tend to think of it somewhat maybe like the United States, but or Canada or Great Britain, but the command structure and whether or not it's a state action might have something to do with how the police department is controlled, right?
It probably does. I'm not sure how the command structure works there, but it goes back to him being a police officer in charge with some responsibility into making an investigation and providing assistance to Mr. Bahora, and that didn't happen. Evidently he didn't go forward and talk to his superiors about it because nothing was ever done about it. I have nothing further.
Thank you. Sure.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is David Shore. I represent the Attorney General of the United States. An immigration judge in the Board of Immigration Appeals denied the asylum claim of Mr. Bahora, finding that he failed to show that the government of India was unable or unwilling to protect him from the private actors that he feared. And the Board likewise denied his motion to remand, which he based on the same evidence that he had presented to the Immigration Court. The issues before this Court are whether substantial evidence supports the Board's decision, and whether the Board acted within the permissible scope of its discretion to deny Mr. Bahora's motion to remand. Turning to Mr. Bahora's asylum claim, he feared private actors. Sandeep Patel, who is affiliated with the BJP political party, and Ketan Mistry, affiliated with a Hindu nationalist organization. Now, he never endeavored to file a complaint with federal authorities, state authorities, or local authorities. The record shows that India's government is a federal system, like the United States. And even after Mr. Bahora relocated to different states, notwithstanding the fact that threats allegedly continued from these individuals, these private individuals. He did not seek to avail himself of assistance of the government, of any locality, any state, or the federal government. Now, instead, he relied on the opinion of one local police officer who, in the immediate aftermath of widespread violence, of riot-like conditions in Gujarat following this train burning in 2002, who opined to Mr. Vohora that proceeding with a complaint would be futile. Now, the record evidence does not compel that conclusion. Rather, as the immigration judge and the board cited, the 2008 State Department country reports, that is the Human Rights Report and the International Religious Freedom Report, show that the federal government agencies have intervened to deal with the 2002 violence and its aftermath. The Supreme Court of India, which has authority over state courts, continued its efforts to hold those who are responsible for the violence to account. It instituted a special investigation team in 2008, which had made 11 arrests, including local BJP and VHP leaders, just like the private actors that petitioner feared, and that 41 police were being tried as of 2008. The police continued to register new complaints and continued to make arrests, and the CBI, which is India's analog of the FBI, it's the Central Bureau of Investigation, launched an inquiry into the 2002 anti-Muslim violence in Gujarat. Cases stemming from the violence were still pending in the courts, and the government is both the state government of Gujarat and the federal government were making efforts to compensate the victims. So this is not a case of the government being unable or unwilling to act here. Now, it is true that, according to Mr. Vohora, four or five local police officers were present when he was assaulted by a private actor. Now, that fact is not dispositive of a government inability or unwillingness to help him. Rather, when an applicant fears private persons and he alleges that the police response is inadequate, now, putting aside the fact that he never registered any complaint with the police or any federal, state, or local law enforcement agency, the question is, the way this court has phrased it, is whether the government can or wants to rein in the police when they deny the elementary protections of the law. That's in the Kushenkov decision. And the evidence does not compel the conclusion in this case that the government is unable or unwilling to rein in the police. We don't know, because he never pursued a complaint, whether those four or five officers who were allegedly present when he was shot, whether their actions are in fact representative of the government. And certainly the evidence doesn't compel the conclusion that those actions are representative of the government in light of these efforts by the national government and some efforts by the state to hold those to account, those private actors to account, who committed violence. In addition, in petitioner's brief to the court, he raises a number of issues that he didn't raise before the immigration judge or the board, which he failed to exhaust. But one such assertion is, he says that the police were under intense international pressure to bring the culprits to justice, that is, the culprits of the 2002 violence, and that they even sought him out as a witness. Now, that completely undermines his allegation that the government is unable or unwilling to protect him. But I'd also like to note that his entire claim is that these threats against him continued even after the violence, because these two private individuals, Sandy Patel and Ketan Mistry, wanted to, in his words, eliminate him because he was a witness to their crime. That is, they feared being prosecuted, and so therefore they sought to target him out of fear of government reprisal. And I do just want to note, the board correctly denied petitioner's motion to remand because he presented the exact same evidence that he had relied on for the immigration court. To prevail on a motion to remand, like a motion to reopen, a party must present new and previously unavailable evidence that could not have been presented at the time of the hearing. Petitioner didn't endeavor to do that. He submitted the exact same evidence, plus an earlier 2004 report that predated his hearing, and then two opinions from this court, which also predated the hearing. So for those reasons, the court should deny this petition for review. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, counsel. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Regarding the country reports, I mean, there have been steps by the federal authorities to make arrests and investigate crimes, and there were at the time in 2002 as well. But for every instance of an investigation, there are many instances where they do not investigate, especially at the local level. And this is where it's important, is at the local level, because at the local level, the federal authorities have very little or no control, and the country reports are clear about that, too. We also have to take into account that for an asylum claim, this is individualized to Mr. Bahora, and we have to take into account his subjective fear. He was told by a police officer not to go into any further investigation, and after that went into hiding. Perhaps Mr. Mistry and Mr. Patel feared reprisals. Perhaps they did not. In any case, they were threatening him. And Mr. Bahora did not at the time and has not received any assistance from the local government or the federal government. He
was
did not
some
receive
question about his being a witness?
Excuse me, Your Honor?
A witness? Was the government trying to call him as a witness? Is that possible?
I believe there was some talk by the Muslim. There was a Muslim group who was in contact with Mr. Bahora, and that is the issue with that. He was being pressured by Muslim groups to become a witness.
I see.
Okay. And he did not want to do that for fear of reprisal. They were trying to make him go as a witness in hopes that something might come of it. But he chose not to based on what had happened and what was told to him before. That's why that came up.
Okay.
I have nothing further, Your Honor. We ask that the case be remanded to the immigration judge for further proceedings. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement. The court will take a brief recess to reconstitute the panel. Judge Williams will be back very shortly for you on the next panel.